stop! Please stop! Oh, I've got an appointment downtown. My biggest client. He wants to drop me. Can't let that happen. I need that commission. There better be another bus along in 15 minutes. Oh, man, I need my car. My car. A 1983 Chevy Vega. It's not the coupe, it's the wagon. The vinyl roof is peeling. Two-tone golden rust paint. And a very temperamental transmission that finally went out on me. $600 to fix it. That's $600 I don't have. And, of course, I can't get the car until I pay it. And I can't do my job on the bus. The bus schedule just doesn't run with the same hours as my clients. I need my car. I need $600! Okay, God. Just need a little bit of help here. Look, you know I love you, right? I mean, I've changed. You've seen that, haven't you? I really want to follow you, God. I go to church. I say grace, and I read the Bible, Lord. And Lord, I've got all the right things. The ring with the cross on it. What would Jesus do? Wristwatch? The t-shirt? My boss is a Jewish carpenter. Lord, I wear that in public. And the bumper sticker? Prayer works. So God, all I'm asking here for is just a little help with the finances. Don't I deserve it? I mean, what's $600 to you? Please, Lord, I really need your help. And God, prayer really does work. Right? Oh! Hello. What's this? Did you drop something? What's a wallet doing right here at this bus stop when there's nobody else around but me? Maybe you did sort of drop something my way. No, you wouldn't do that. Or would you? No, I need to return that to its owner, right? That would be the right thing to do, right? But hang on a second. Okay, here's the deal. If there's $600 in that wallet, and I mean exactly $600, then Lord, that's your sign to me that it's all mine. And your infinite wisdom and grace, you worked it out that some poor slob lost their wallet with the sole purpose of me paying for my car repairs. I mean, what are the odds of this just being a coincidence? Here goes. I'm so excited. Oh, there's a lot of green in there. Okay, Lord, you are my shepherd. You lead me into the green pastures. Oh, that's a $100 bill. 100. 200. Three Benjis, baby. 400. 500. I can't be doing this. That's just not right. But Lord, what if that money really is from you? You talked me into it. Okay. Where are we at here? We're at 500, baby. There's a 20. That's 520. 540. 560. 580. Oh, 590. 595. 96. 97. 98. 99. 599, that's all? There must be some mistake. Where's the other dollar? It seems like you of all people should be able to count. But hang on a second. Hang on, that's close. That's close. 599 is very close. And couldn't I assume you'd be rounding up? That makes sense. No, it doesn't. Oh, so close. But the deal was for exactly $600. And this is clearly $599. So close. Okay, I'll find out who it belongs to and I'll return it to them. Jane Thompson. Plain Jane Thompson. Oh, here's her happy husband. Nice comb over, dude. There's the kiddos. More kiddos. Lots of kiddos. They're delinquents. What's this? That's a dollar bill. That's a dollar bill. That's $599. And that's why, and with my addition, which isn't good, but I think it's right. That's $600, baby. Yes! That's... Show me the money! I got $600. I got $600. Prayer works! Prayer works! Prayer works! In your wonderful, awesome, awesome gracious power, you've worked it out. Lord, you've worked it out. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for changing me.
I'm getting my car back, baby.
Yeah. Where's that bus at?
Oh. Excuse me.
Yeah, what?
I think I lost my wallet somewhere around here. You haven't seen one, have you?
A wallet? A wallet? Today?
Yeah, today.
You like one of those Velcro cloth Kmart jobs, right?
No, it was more expensive than that. It was burgundy calf leather.
I like those. They're nice. I've seen those.
You have?
I've seen those in the store. The store is where I've seen those.
Oh. So sure I had it before I got on the bus this morning.
The bus. Maybe that's where it's at. The bus.
Yeah, you're probably right. Thanks anyway. You know, I saw this bumper sticker on this car. It said, "Prayer works." I don't even believe in God, but I thought, well, maybe if he does exist, maybe he'd answer my prayer. I decided to try it. I have been praying all morning that God would help me to find my wallet.
Seriously? You've really been praying?
Yeah. Do you pray?
Yeah, I do.
Does God answer your prayers?
Yes. Yes, he does.
Well, I guess prayer only works for you and people who own 83 Chevy Vegas.
Chevy Vegas with bumper stickers that say prayer works.
Yeah. Have a nice day.
Okay, God. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I'm ready to do things your way now, Lord. I really have changed, God. Hey, lady. Hey, Jane. Jane Thompson! God's real! I found your wallet! He answered your prayers!
For there are those who trust me. Lord, make me pure. For there are those who care. Lord, make me strong. For there is much to suffer. Lord, make me brave. For there is much to dare. Lord, make me true. Lord, help me pray through each busy moment. Lord, help me listen constantly to you. Lord, help me hear. To always follow you. Lord, make me true. Lord, make me true. Lord, make me true.
Would you grab your Bibles with me, please, and turn to page 277 in your pew Bible, or 1 Samuel 16. Book of 1 Samuel, chapter 16. We're going to read the first half of this chapter together as we continue our study of the life of David. Dave, 2 weeks ago, the youth team last week, doing a great job walking us through David's life. Not trying to do it in a chronological order, but to trying to pull out some gems of insights that are applicable to our lives. Would you stand with me, please, as we read 1 Samuel 16, starting in verse 1. The call of David. The Lord said to Samuel, the prophet, How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I'm sending you to Jesse, son of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king." But Samuel said, "How can I go? Saul will hear about it and kill me." The Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I've come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I'll show you what to do. You are to anoint for me the one I indicate." Samuel did what the Lord said. When he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town trembled when they met him. They asked, "Do you come in peace?" Samuel replied, "Yes, in peace. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come to the sacrifice with me." Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Don't consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and had him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, "The Lord's not chosen him, this one either." And Jesse had Shammah pass by, but Samuel said, "Nor has the Lord chosen this one." And Jesse had seven of his sons pass before Samuel. But Samuel said to him, "The Lord's not chosen these." So he asked Jesse, "Are these all the sons you have?" "They're still the youngest," Jesse answered, but he's tending the sheep." So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. And Samuel then went to Ramah. Father, would you use this old story that I believe was recorded for us for a purpose that lasts until today and our hearts in this hour? Bring it home. Bring it here. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, we love Salem as our home. There's no question at all about that. But it is fun to wander back to the roots of Minnesota and Wisconsin, where our family has gathered for the last couple of weeks. Both Joanna's side of the family and my side of the family had some gatherings. And 4,800 miles later, I found it as a great success that we only stopped at one McDonald's en route. 4,800 miles later, we found our way back home. But I must tell you that between here and there, there's a lot of nothing. Lonely spaces, empty land. I'm talking Montana, North Dakota. There's lots of places where God just got bored or something. I'm not sure, but I got bored in the process. We pulled into Billings to pick up my mother on a Thursday evening, mowed her lawn for her, got up early the next morning, 4:30. I like to be out before and get some miles conquered before the sun's too hot and the traffic is too bad, which I really don't need to worry about the traffic part when it comes to Montana. You see, we were driving through Billings. I got onto Interstate 90, is it 90 or 94 at that moment? There's a transition right there outside of Billings. But we got onto the interstate. Now, I'm talking freeway. I'm talking a major American interstate. I'm talking the largest city from Minneapolis to Spokane, from somewhere in Canada that I don't care about to Denver, Colorado. We are talking the major metropolitan area in that part of the planet. And I left 4:30 in the morning, got on the interstate, and did not see a vehicle. I did not pass or was passed by an eastbound vehicle. Now, across on the westbound, there was something over there. But in my two lanes of traffic, I did not pass or be passed by or see another vehicle for 63 miles until I met the first car. The sun has risen by now and or coming up on the horizon. And the second car I encountered at 102 miles. And by 120 miles, traffic was reaching true congestion point for Montana. There was actually a tractor putt-putting on the side of the road heading out to work while there was a semi-truck ahead of me a few hundred yards. And we were really in the traffic now. It began to occur to me on that lonely stretch of road from Billings to Beach, North Dakota, which if there's any misnamed city on the planet, it's got to be that one. I don't know where they came up with that. But I started to think perhaps one of the reasons that Montana and North Dakota are so uninhabited is that they have made efforts to name roads and places in such a way that you wouldn't want to go there. For example, right on the interstate, there's an exit for Bad Route Road. Why would you build a road that's a bad route in the first place unless you really didn't want anybody to drive on it? Bad Route Road is followed by Whoop Up Creek Road. I love the sound of that. Whoop up, we're going to whoop up on you if you drive past our creek. There's Devil's Tower, Dead Man's Gulch. There's all these kinds of names that would discourage one from traveling through these lonely places. Lonely places. David. Your dad wants you right away. Quick, run home. I'll watch a sheep for you while you're gone. So the teenage boy runs. David's family has gathered. He hasn't known about it. He hasn't been invited. Most of them have gathered anyway. 7 older brothers. His father was there. What David didn't know was that Samuel the prophet was in town, and he's come to anoint a new king. One of his sons, one of the sons of Jesse. Based upon physical appearance, it should have been David's oldest brother, Eliab. Eliab was tall, handsome. In today's terms, we would call him electable. He's not the one, Samuel hears in his heart, a whisper from God. Your judgment is based upon external appearance. And I'm looking layers deeper. I'm looking past